We are in a series titled To the Ends of the Earth. If you haven't been with us the past couple of weeks, the series comes from Acts chapter 1, where Jesus kind of gives his disciples their last final instructions. And he tells them this. He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So basically, the idea is this: as followers of Jesus, our job is to help share the message of God's love to the entire world. It's kind of a big job. But we do that through a number of ways. We do that by going to the unreached, like our missionaries. God will call you. God can place it on your heart. And I want you to, Pastor Corey prayed last or talked last week about God, if you want me to go, stop me from going. Like, let's be a church that is going, not a church that is waiting to just see. All right, so we go, we send missionaries financially. We've been doing these pledge cards. If you have not filled out a pledge card, you can do that here today. We still have some. You can do it online even. You can go to our website and fill out that pledge card. We want to be a church that is supporting missionaries. Missionaries are always looking to be able to get there, right? And so let's be a church that sends people, right? And we can also help by going on missions trips. We send missions trips every year and go to these places and work with missionaries and kids and see God move. But mainly, I think what Jesus was saying when he gave them this last mission was everybody needs to hear this. Everyone. Like, this isn't just for the Jews. This isn't just for your family. Everybody needs to hear this. So we focused a lot this month on what missions is, because missions is who we are as a church and as a movement. It is central to who we are as a church. But according to the Bible, it should be central to who you are as a Christian. Right? It shouldn't be something that your church says, hey, this is important. This should be something that's on our heart because we want to follow God. The other part of this, as we wrap up the series, is that we are called to reach whoever is around us right now, right? We're not called to sit on our butts and do nothing, even though that maybe sounds fun to you. But we are called to do something. So today, I hope you came ready to hear from God's word, to be challenged to grow. This passage challenges me. If you came here today with a sucky attitude, I just want to say, hey, let's take a moment. You came in through these doors on your own accord, right? You walked here. You walked in the doors. Let's take a moment and say, God, what do you want to speak to me? God, I want to be challenged by you. That's why we're here. We're not here to cross something off our list on our Christian to-do list, right? We're here to grow. So let's get that into our heads and into our hearts. Would you stand with me as we pray today? God, I pray over our time together today. God, I pray that you would use me to speak your words. God, I surrender everything that I've planned that you've placed on my heart this week. And God, if there is something that you want me to say today, I want that to come from you. God, would you open up our hearts, open up our minds to be challenged by you. Help us grow and learn how to love others like you do. In your name we pray, amen. All right, you can have a seat. Thank you so much. So today our focus will shift from people who don't have access to the gospel to the people that God has placed around you, all right? But understand something. The basis between all of this, whether it's someone in a foreign country that we've never heard of, or whether it's your neighbor, the basis of it is the same. It's love. The Bible tells us that without love, we have nothing. So what does it mean to share Jesus here with your neighbors, with your coworkers? What does that mean? How do we do that? Is it knocking on doors of strangers and saying, hey, have you heard about Jesus? Is it standing on the street corner shouting at people? Is it somehow trying to weave Jesus into every conversation? What is sharing Jesus in our daily life? How do we biblically do that? And so today I would argue that it's not really any of those things that we maybe think of when we talk about sharing Jesus. I would argue that it's really just one thing, that it's love, the most central theme to the entire Bible, love. The most central theme to Jesus's life is love. So let's read from the Bible. If you have your Bible with you, you can turn to John chapter 13. We're going to start at verse 34. All right, we're going to start earlier. It says 33. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So this takes place. What's happening when Jesus is saying this? This takes place right before everything unfolds and Jesus is arrested and crucified in front of his friends and enemies and everyone. Jesus and the disciples gather together to celebrate the Passover meal, which was this celebration that they would have to remind themselves of what God did for them in Israel, right? How he led them out of Egypt and formed them into their own nation. So during this time, Jesus gets up and he begins to wash each of the disciples' feet. And you might be like, oh, that's kind of weird. It's even weirder, right? Because back then they didn't have shoes like we have today. They had sandals and dirt roads and camels and donkeys and all these things that walked on the roads. So their feet were disgusting. So it's not just weird. It's also disgusting. So Jesus bends down. He begins to wash each of the disciples' feet individually. He comes to each of them and starts washing their feet. And they're like, why are you doing this? You should not be doing this. You are God. Like, you are Lord. You are the Messiah. You should not be washing our feet. And Jesus does this to show them what love means, what leadership means, what following God means. He says, you call me Lord, and rightfully so, but I, your Lord, have washed your feet. You should do that for one another. I set you an example, and you should do as I have done. And he then predicts his betrayal by one of them, and he says a time is coming that he has to leave. And then he gives them a new command, which we just read. The disciples are probably now on the edge of their seats. They're like, whoa, a new commandment? Jesus, are you going to rewrite the laws of Moses? Are you going to pull out a stone? Wait, are you going to get a gold tablet? This is awesome. Right, their minds are probably exploding. Like, Jesus is going to give us a new commandment. We're going to add to scripture here. He then says this, after all this buildup, he says, love. And they're probably like, what? Wait, Jesus, you build it all up to this? We've heard you say this 100 times. How is this anything new? But he adds this. He says, love as I have loved you. He says, that's the measure that you are to love, to extend to all people. And when you do this, people will know that you follow me. If you love as I have loved you. He says, they'll know you by your love. Here's the thing, I believe wholeheartedly that God's word is not just a book of history. This is not a book of history. The words in here are for me and for you. So if God is saying this to them, he's also saying this to us. God is saying this to us through his word today. Love others as I have loved you. Everyone will know that you are my disciple, that you follow me by your love. So if we claim to follow God, we must love others. We should be identified by that characteristic of loving others. And if you're writing notes, you can write this down. If we love God, we must love others because people are God's creation, his handiwork, the thing that he is most proud of, the thing he created and looked down and he said, it is very good, us, you. He says that about you. But he also says that about your cranky neighbor. He says that about your coworker that's always talking behind your back and saying things about you that aren't true. He says that about your family member who you haven't talked to in years, that they are his most prized possession, the thing that he is most proud of. God loves them just as much as he loves you. And if we love God, then we have to love what he has made. It's like this, right? I my oldest daughter, Erlyn, love her to pieces. She is smart, funny, caring, just an amazing little person. I love her. But the artwork that she creates, well, let's just say a 3-year-old could do it, okay? Right? No, because she's 3. Okay. but it's not anything artistically amazing. It's scribbles on a piece of paper, right? But I love that piece of paper. It means so much to me, and I think that it is the most amazing thing ever because she created it. And because I love her, I love what she has made. I love what she has created because she is so important to me, right? Because I love her, I love what she has made. Some people might look like a little bit of a mess to you, but God still created them with purpose and on purpose. So how can we as Christians not love what God has created if we love God? What he calls his best, how can we not love that? You have to make the choice for yourself to see people as the handiwork of God that they truly are. When you do that, you can't help but have compassion on others. And that's where it starts. See, Jesus talked to people a lot about what identifies us as a follower of God. It wasn't our memorization of scripture, not our sacrifices, our giving, our time, how many worship songs we know, or how many times we've gone to church. None of those things identify us as a follower of God. All of those things are beneficial and help us grow in our relationship with God, but that is not what identifies us as a follower of our God. Jesus said they would know us, they would be able to identify us by our love for others. One of my personal heroes, Bob Goff, says something like this. He says, there's a massive difference in liking Jesus and to being like Jesus. And we will never be able to be like Jesus without love. So love is a massive, massive part of your walk with God. So let's quickly look at how Jesus loved and what he had to say about it. Because honestly, it's very different than our typical modern American way of saying love. Right, we use love to say, I love Mountain Dew, I love soccer, I love my wife, you know. But I definitely don't love my wife as much as I love Mountain Dew. Wait. You know what I mean? No, right, we use love for so many different things. But to Jesus, love was not a word to describe a feeling. Right, it was a word that showed action. It showed where your heart was and what was important to you. To Jesus, love is for everybody. He told a story to illustrate this that would later be called the Good Samaritan. You can read this story in Luke chapter 10. And while this phrase might sound common to you, and you've probably heard the phrase Good Samaritan, to Jesus' audience, the Jews, it probably sounded crazy, right? The story shows how a Jewish man is walking down a road. He gets beat up and taken everything that he has and left on the side of the road to die. Then a priest and a Levite walk by, and they both don't help him. Neither of them help him. They don't stop. They don't really pay any attention. They cross on the other side of the road and keep going. And then a Samaritan man starts walking down the road. He sees the man, takes pity on him, places him on his donkey, bandages his wounds, puts him in a hotel, and pays for his room, right? Jesus comes to his audience. He says, which of these people showed how to love their neighbor? Obviously, the one who stopped, right? The Samaritan. But understand, to the Jewish people, Samaritans were the worst, right? They didn't accept the Bible in the same way. In fact, they took pieces out of the Bible and said, no, we don't believe in that part, but we believe in this part, right? And in fact, we don't think that we should worship God in Jerusalem, but we should worship on this mountain over here. And they hated each other. The Jews were like, what? You can't just do that. But Jesus uses this story to show that his love is for everybody. We don't just love people that we agree with. Jesus proves this through his life when he talks to a Samaritan woman at a well, right? And maybe you've heard this story before, but basically how it goes is he goes to this well and this woman is there and he talks to her, he meets her where she's at, tells her the sin that's in her life, but in not a shameful way, not an argumentative way, not to judge or to belittle or to act holier than thou, right? He just loves her right where she's at. And the result of this is that she tells her entire town what Jesus said. And they believe in Jesus and that he is the promised Messiah. Her entire town, the Samaritan village, believes that Jesus is now the Messiah because he stops to show love to this person that, you know, he probably shouldn't have according to their culture. Jesus constantly surrounded himself with people who the world would see as hard to love. his closest friends, his disciples. Here's what we know of them. There were four fishermen or people that owned a fishing company, business type thing, probably rough around the edges guys. There was a tax collector, and maybe you think you hate the IRS. These Jewish people hated tax collectors because a tax collector just basically meant that they were a Jewish guy that turned their backs on their family, on their fellow Jews, and said, I'm going to collect money for the Roman government from you, and you're going to have to bring it to me. And they would also say, you owe me more than what you actually did, and they would pocket it for themselves just because they could. So, fisherman, tax collector. There's a guy named Simon the Zealot, and usually that's not, when something is attached to your name, it's usually not a good thing, you know? but it basically means he was either some sort of revolutionary kind of fighting against the Roman government or some sort of politician of that day, which either of those things don't sound too great to me. And then there was a thief named Judas. These are the only occupations that we know of the disciples. Not usually the people that you'd be like, yeah, I want you and you and you and you. Yes, we've got our team here. We've got this politician, a thief, a tax collector. This is going to be great. No, right? These are probably not people that we would choose, but these are the people that Jesus chose first because Jesus came to serve, not to be served, and to give himself up for us. So if we want to be like Jesus, we have to love everybody all the time. Romans chapter 5, verse 7 and 8 says this. Says, very rarely will someone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God proved his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That simply means God loves you whether you love him back or not, right? He didn't wait for us to get our act together and then say, okay, now you've earned my love. Now I can die for you. No, it says he loves you right where you're at, no matter what, no matter if you choose to love him back or not. We try to make Christianity and following God so complicated. We had all these rules and these things and what you should do and what you shouldn't do. But really, it's so simple. You just have to love God with all your heart and love people. It's simple. Right? When all of our actions fall into those buckets, we can't not be following God's will, right? So first, Jesus taught that love is for everybody. And secondly, to Jesus, love was a pursuit, right? Jesus told another story in Luke chapter 15. I want to read it to you quickly. It says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Right, what we were just kind of talking about. Jesus choosing, again, to place around him people that needed love. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. He calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I love that Jesus just says this so matter-of-factly. He says, you lose a sheep, one sheep out of 100. Don't you go and find it? People are probably like, no, I've got 99 here. If I leave them, they might all escape. I'm not going to risk the 99 just to get the one. That's dumb. Right? But he says it so matter of fact. He says, don't you do this? And the people are like, no. And I definitely don't throw a party just because I found one little sheep. Right? But this is such a great picture of what loving to Jesus is. It's a pursuit. Love chases down what it wants without any thought of reason. Right? Love pursues sometimes blindly without giving up. And it's all in. When you go after something you love, you'll do anything it takes to get it, even if it costs you everything. That's what the pursuit part is, right? No one ever falls into love because it's convenient. I'm like, oh yeah, I think this is a good time to fall in love. Yeah, let's go find that today. No, right, you don't, it's usually inconvenient, usually costs you something, and you have to work at it every day of your life, right? Love is difficult. You have to leave yourself behind and put somebody else's interests first. That's what love is. So Jesus shows us here to love others, you have to be okay with being a little uncomfortable and inconvenienced. You have to surrender your schedule. In our culture today, we almost worship convenience. We've built ginormous businesses just on the premise that they make something more convenient for us. Right? You look at Amazon, Netflix, DoorDash, Uber, grocery pickup, the idea of fast food, right? All of these things, you look at them and what do? They make something convenient for us. Anything that has made something more easy or convenient for Americans is making millions, right? If you can streamline something, if you can make it so people don't have to leave their homes to get what they want and get what they want at the push of a button, when they want it, how they want it, where they want it, that's convenience. The Bible is very countercultural, and it asks us to be inconvenienced. It asks us to go out of our way to love others, no matter who they are. So Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me. Love and humility are two of the most central themes of the Bible, right? To pursue others, we must let go of convenience and grab hold of the mission. What do we know? We know the mission is for everyone to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the mission. Acts 1:8 again says, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Let's reread that in the analogical terms. It says, you will be my witnesses to your family, to your friends, your enemies, and the people around the world. Right? If you are in the church world long enough, you probably hear the term witness thrown around as a way to tell people about Jesus. And the picture maybe you get, and even I get sometimes, is a stranger going up and say, hey, did you know the Bible says you're going to hell? Right? I mean, honestly, that's a lot of times what I think of when people say the word witness. And maybe you think of a witness as someone who stands up like in front of a judge and jury and says, this is the crime that I viewed or that I saw. This is what I saw take place. I think that's closer to what Jesus was actually talking about when he said, you will be my witness. I think what Jesus meant was that we are to show the world his love. Again, in John 13, he says that people will know you are my disciples by your what? Your love, right? And we all know that you can say all the words you want, that you love something or you love someone, you can say all the words you want, but if your actions aren't there to back it up, it means nothing, right? You can tell someone that you love them, but if you're stabbing them in the back or never there for them and they can't count on you, they're not going to actually feel like you love them, right? Our actions have to be there. So how do we witness? The most effective way to lead other people to Jesus is to love them, to love big, dangerously, inconveniently, unrelenting, sacrificially, and without end. That's the pursuit of love that Jesus wants us to exemplify. Part of that is using your words to talk to people about Jesus, what he's done in your life. Not using your words to judge, to point fingers at the sin in their life. There's most definitely a place to speak truth into someone's life, and we see Jesus do that, but he does it always with love. It must be done in love. To follow Jesus is to be a witness. If you're not being a witness for him, you're not following Jesus, because that's what he told us to do. These are two of the last things that he told us. He told us, love as I have loved you, and then be my witness. So here's what all this has led up to today. If we love God, we must love others. And if we love others, we must share God's love with them, right? How could we love others without sharing God's love with them, right? That wouldn't be loving. We would be keeping something from them. There's this Easter video I saw some time ago, and there's this family, they're outside of their home trying to take a picture. They're all dressed up nicely in their Sunday best, you know. They're out there taking a picture, and then their neighbor is like right across the fence, and he's out there watering his lawn in his bathrobe, and he's looking at them like, hey, what are you guys doing? Oh, we're just taking a picture. We're going to go to church because it's, yeah, he's like, why? Oh, well, it's Easter, so we're going to church. It's like, what are they going to talk about there? You know, just God and how Jesus died for us and his love. He didn't think that's something I might want to hear about. And then this family is like, oh no. They completely missed the mission, right? How often have we done that same thing, right? How often do we make assumptions for other people? We just assume that they wouldn't want to be invited to church. Pastor Corey shared last week, like over 70% of people say that they would go to church if they were invited by their friends, right? We just assume they wouldn't want to be invited to church. We assume they wouldn't want to have a conversation about God. We assume they don't want to know what God has been speaking to you. But you are God's witness. See, the church is not the primary witness of Jesus. You are. How you live and what you say is more impactful than all of our messages or teaching that we could ever give up here. It's because of relationship, because of love. Music team, will you please come? So let's wrap this up. Jesus loves you, right? He loves everyone, and he shows that with his life. He has given us a command, not just a, hey, maybe do this, but a command to love each other like he does. This means that we need to see people as God does. If we want to see growth in someone, we need to recognize that people, just like plants, they don't grow just where they're planted. They grow where they're loved, where you have put attention and time into them. Love is not a feeling, it is an active pursuit. And to pursue others, we must let go of our plans and let the Holy Spirit inconvenience us and surrender ourselves to him. Jesus said, when you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, when he comes on you, then you will be my witnesses. Have you ever felt like you were scared to share Jesus with someone? I have. You get like this nervous and your heart starts pounding. You're like, why do we get scared? We have the best news in the world. And the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit will give you power. All you have to do is ask, say, God, I need your Holy Spirit to give me boldness to share with my coworker, with my neighbor. Start to try to develop triggers in your head that you ask the Holy Spirit to speak into your life. If you are not taking time to listen, you will not hear from God. That's the easiest way to say that if you don't want to hear from God, just don't take time to listen. If you want to hear from God, you have to ask him to speak and then be ready to do what he says, right? So develop triggers in your mind before you go to the store, before you get out of your car. Say, God, is there anyone that you want to show me today that I might bump into, even if I know them or don't, that just needs to hear about your love? Before you go to school, before you go to an appointment, before you come to church even, ask the Holy Spirit, show me if there's someone I need to show your love to. The Bible tells us to pray unceasingly. And I've always thought that, how do you do that? How can I talk to someone like while I'm talking? It doesn't make any sense, God, right? I think this is a big part of that. It's just saying, God, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Wherever you are, whenever you are, surrendering your schedule. Ask God, how can I show your love? How could I lead someone to you? Who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want me to invite to church? When we are led by the Holy Spirit, the results that we see are gonna be so much different than we do it on our own. That's when we get discouraged. We get discouraged when we try to do it on our own and then we fail and we get nervous and then we make enemies with someone because we tell them that they're messed up and they're gonna die, right? We're like, where did that even come from? Right? No, but God wants to use you. He wants the Holy Spirit to speak to you and through you to let other people see his love. So do not walk away from here thinking, whew, I never have to talk to someone. I just need to be love, and I just need to show love, and I just need to pay for people's drive-through. You know, all that stuff is great. All that stuff shows God's love. But please don't walk out of here thinking that Jesus was saying, oh, I just have to love others, and I never have to tell anyone about Jesus. Whew. No, all right, that's not what he said. If you love others, then you will tell them about Jesus. Because if you don't, you're not loving them. And it's as that simple. We have an amazing opportunity with Easter coming up, and people know what Easter is, right? It's an amazing opportunity to say, hey, you want to come to church with me? I've got three options this Sunday. Woohoo! Right? just be open with people. Right? So don't just open the door, like love kind of like opens the door. Don't just open the door and just let it be. Like choose to walk through that. Would you stand with me all over this place as we close today? I kind of see this picture like this. Like you have two employees at this workplace, right? One employee does whatever they're told. They wait, and whenever they get something, their boss says, hey, will you do this? They go and do it. And they sit there and they wait at their desk and for someone to come and tell them what to do. And then you have another employee who is always looking for something to do. They're always trying to find a task that'll move the mission forward. Right? Is this person wrong for just sitting and waiting and doing what they're told? No. But which of these employees do you want to hire? You want to hire the employee that's going to move that mission forward, that's looking for things to do, that is active in this pursuit. Let's not be Christians that just sit there and wait for God to tell us to do something. He's already told us what to do. So find something that moves that mission forward. It's time to respond to this, to say, God, what do you want to speak to me? How can I love more like you? So here's a couple ways that you could respond today. You could say, Holy Spirit, I need more of you because I am afraid. I need your boldness. I need to see those opportunities and I'm missing them. Maybe you just need to commit to showing love through your words and actions. Maybe you'd say, you know what? When I walk out of this place, my family probably doesn't feel loved. My coworkers probably don't feel loved. Maybe you haven't been a good representation of what Jesus is through your actions. Maybe your selfish nature just needs a kick in the pants today. Maybe you just need to say, you know what? I need to let go of my schedule. I need to let go of my priorities and put what the Bible's priorities are first. And say, when I walk into the store, I should have a grocery list and I should be saying, God, who do you want me to speak to, right? You walk into the store without a grocery list, that's dangerous, but you walk into the store without being led by the Holy Spirit can be dangerous too, because you might miss something God has for you. Let's not miss it. Let's not miss what God wants to speak to us. I want us all to ask this. If this is the only thing that you respond to today, just say simply, God, how can I love others more like you? And maybe you're like, you know, I've never experienced God's love. I don't know what this love that you're talking about that Jesus did. How did he love me? Like the song is saying, Jesus laid his life down for us. He took the punishment for our sins so that we could have relationship with God, so that we wouldn't be separated from him anymore, that we would be able to follow God so closely, be able to talk to him and communicate with him and be led by the Holy Spirit. And so today, I want to give an opportunity that if that's you, if you'd say, you know what, I've never responded to this. I've never ask Jesus to come in and forgive me of my sin. I've never said, God, I want to live for you and not for myself. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, a moment of privacy here, just between you and God. If that's you, if you'd say, you know what, I need God's love in my life. I want to be more like what you're talking about today. I want to give my life to God. If that's you today, why don't you simply raise your hand and put it back down so that we can pray with you today. Awesome. All right, would you repeat after me? Would you pray with me? Say, Dear Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, help me to live for you. I surrender my life and I accept your gift of salvation. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Awesome. If you made that decision today, I want you to find me, find Pastor Gabs, find someone to talk to about this, right? Because this is the best decision that you ever made, to have a relationship with God, but it's also difficult, right? Jesus said, following him would be the best, but it would also be hard. He never promised that this would be easy. And for us, one last action step for all of us here today. I want you to invite someone to Easter. All right? Whether you're nervous about it or whatever, maybe it's someone you don't even know, it's someone at the store or a coworker. Pray, God, who do you want me to invite? Right? Be led by His Spirit and then do it. Be obedient. When He puts that nudge in your heart or puts a name in your mind, go and do that today. I want us to go out from this place inspired to love people more like Jesus. Let's not let opportunities pass us by, but let's go and simply love. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you want to stay and pray, you totally can. If you need to go, you can go. Thank you so much.